talked about the difference between seasons and cycles. We said seasons are scriptural acknowledgement of an established reality. Seasons come, period. And the thing about seasons, we said, well, so you can't change them. They're out of your control, right? In fact, right now we're in transition. We're going into the fall season. How many love the fall season? Whether you like it or not, how many know it's coming? And if you hate and despise cold weather and winter, hold on, friends, because winter's coming. And did you know that the winter needs to come if we're going to have a profitable spring? The nitrogen that is in, because of the freeze on the land and the grass, there has to be the nitrogen to take care of the crop or whatever's coming in the spring. It is God's order of things. The Bible says God does everything decently and in order, including the seasons. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, according to the all of the things going on in the sky. I'm not a scientist, but you understand, right? Sun and the moon order different things and tides and different things. And so, although both seasons and cycles are both rhythms of life and time, seasons naturally happen and can't be controlled. Seasons can be measured. Like I said, the tide, winter, summer, spring, all of that. You can dress for winter. You can dress for spring, right? But all you can do is prepare for it. You can't change it. That's what we said. It could cycles, on the other hand, are rhythmic and circular, and there's you can do something about a cycle. You can start a healthy cycle. I said you can end an unhealthy cycle, and that's what we're going to talk about today: is ending unhealthy cycles or breaking the cycle. So cycles come into all of our lives. Seasons happen naturally. And cycles sometimes, you make decisions that become habits, and that habits that become addictions. Sometimes people struggle with cycles. Where do cycles come from? What happens? Well, we talked last week about seasons and kairos moments at times sometimes collide with our waiting moments, and that's when we see a miracle. Suddenly, a divine interruption. How many like it when God divinely interrupts your situation? In the fullness of time, Christ came in the manger. Amen? Anybody glad the day Jesus entered into the earth, in the earth's atmosphere, and he changed everything that was lying and waiting for his soon coming. It's happening again. How many know the Lord is coming soon to change a cycle forever? Amen? The sin cycle. And so, for every cycle of frustration, there's a divine suddenly coming your way. We said that. And we said that God had a plan and Satan wanted to hinder it. And that's why there's frustration. And there are cycles of blessing and cycles of pain. And if you want to see breakthrough, let me know you have to break through. And so the negative cycle is discouraging, sometimes depressing, detouring you from the plan and destiny and God's given future for you. But Satan's trying to snuff out the seed before he has a victory, before we have a victory. It happened in Moses' life, right? Pharaoh wanted to kill the babies, right? And so Jochebed put baby Moses. I mean, no, that's sowing and reaping. Put that seed into the Nile, and God preserved that boy. How many know God's in charge of everything? He works with us in the reaping and sowing process. He works with us in the seasons and cycles of life. And for 40 years, Moses spent in the palace instead of in the Hebrew slave house. And then after that, he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert. How many know sometimes God will take you on the backside of the desert to teach you a few things? It's called processing. It's called another cycle. Remember the Israelites went through 40 years of wandering? That was a negative, very bad cycle, because they wouldn't learn the lesson God had for them to lesson. They could have been there in 11 days. But 40 years later, because of their stubbornness, because of their hard-heartedness, because of their lack of hearing the word of the Lord, they spent wandering 40 years and missing the mark and didn't even enter into the promise of rest. So some of you might be filled with anguish today. Some of you might be overwhelmed with life and the cycle you're in the middle of, spinning out of control. And although you may not be aware of it, you have an appointment with God. Amen? Today could be your day, and today could be your deliverance. How many know God has already scheduled a suddenly for some of you? He's ready to break in whatever you're going through. So I could assume that everybody here today is in a healthy cycle, a good cycle, but that's probably not a reality. How many know some people deal with toxic cycles? It happens. It happens in families. And you can only know what you know at the moment in time, but God can break through in the midst of whatever cycle of time you're in with the power and the authority that only comes from Jesus, because Jesus is the cycle breaker. I said, Jesus is the cycle breaker, and he is able to take us where we need to go if we'll follow through. And we're going to deal with how to break the cycles this morning, but Paul and Silas, you know, they were in the prison, right, for preaching the gospel. Hey, that's a positive thing. It feels like a negative, right? It feels like a negative, but it was a positive. So what did they do? How did they get out of this negative cycle of prison, imprisonment? Some people are free from the prison cell, but still imprisoned in their own mind. You can be, how many know, you can be imprisoned and not be imprisoned because of the cycle you allowed your negative thoughts, negative words, negative mindset, and moods to dictate your constant vicious circular cycle. It either circulates upward or it circulates downward. How many know it does circulate? And so Paul and Silas were in a mess, but that's when God showed up with a miracle. What were they doing? They were in prison, but they had the audacity to keep on singing and praying, even in a hard place. One of the ways to break a cycle is to learn how to give God the glory. And so Paul, in the midnight hour, looked over and said, "Hey, you got a song on your heart?" He said, "Sure do." And they began to sing the praises of God. All of a sudden, an earthquake came. How many know? A suddenly came into the prison. A kairos moment came in the middle of their mess and brought a miracle. And not only did it set Paul and his associate free, everybody in the prison was set free. I wish somebody would help preacher preach today. Everybody around you could be affected by your negative cycle, and everybody around you can be affected by your positive cycle. You're in a cycle, whether you know it or not, and you do have a choice. You can break through. You can sit around and cry, or you can get up and sing, amen, and pray yourself into breakthrough. So we understand that cycles come from many, many places, both good and bad. And I want to do a little bit here because so many people have asked me before, how is that possible that I got into this cycle? Well, sometimes it's genetic or generational. Okay, it's generational. Sometimes our families have had toxic cycles, and that gets transferred. Either sometimes, you know, how medical can be transferred through DNA. You can have some heart issues because you had it in your family tree or whatnot. Well, there is learned behavior and toxic patterns that can come. Is anybody going to let preacher preach today? Anybody want to know about this for real? Because if you're going to get out of a cycle, you're going to have to define the cycle you're in. And so many people want to know where it came from, and sometimes it's generational. It comes from beliefs, emotions, behaviors that can weave into our lives through the family history. And sometimes culture or whatever. But they can manifest as people get caught in patterns of work ethic. If your father was a workaholic, maybe you have a tendency to be a workaholic. It happens. I said it can happen. It's real. It's patterns. It's cycles, traditions, communication styles, even emotional responses. And churches have cycles. People have cycles. Nations have cycles, right? And so not all are bad, but you know, I witnessed little Tommy. My grandson, when he was barely able to walk, he would get on the platform here, and he couldn't hardly hold the stick, the drumstick. But he'd march him little self over there, teeter-tottled, and he'd get on the drums, and he couldn't hit the top cymbals, so Poppy had to help him hit the top cymbal. I mean, now you can create. I wish somebody would help me. God put created order in your life. You were created in the image of God. Some of that positive, some of that good cycle is given to you by the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit are given by the Lord. And sometimes giving a little child who has something in him, his daddy has something in him. His daddy was playing the drums at 5 years old. or something like that. Him and Isaac both was on the platform in church before they could ever even know what was happening. And then he began to play the guitar. How many know there's something in that little boy that possibly, you know, I might be dead, I might not be around, but if you see him playing the drums, it wasn't by accident. Something was going on. Are y'all hearing me? Inherent, created, okay? Before he could even walk, creative expression can be passed along. Amen? And creative destruction can be passed along. If it's true for the positive, it's true for the negative. I'm going to preach this whether I get a response or not. It's from generation to generation. However, cycles can too. For example, if one generation struggles expressing their emotions openly, it could be a pattern of non-expressiveness. It didn't happen in my family. I'm a Cajun, a baby of 11. We expressed where everybody could tell. Down in Louisiana, everybody knows your expressions, and there's nobody's quiet. Nobody. And to get heard in a baby of 11, to get heard, you got to get loud. If you didn't get louder, you just got drowned out. And so maybe learned behavior can play. Are y'all following that? Okay, so patterns and cultures and upbringings and filters, what you hear and how you do and what you say, it all comes. And sometimes it creates a destructive cycle, which we call in the scriptures strongholds. Strongholds is a pattern from one generation to the other. And sometimes God can help us break these negative cycles through the power of the Spirit, because Jesus is the cycle breaker. I just wanted to give that intro, how to break it. First of all, you have to realize authority. How many know Jesus is the cycle breaker? And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not trying to say that you have a free ride, that you can be a victim. I'm trying to say if you want deliverance, you got to figure it out. Where did this come from? Why am I like I am? Because a lot of people are growing their whole life and never discover who they are in the Lord. It's a serious cycle. It comes from a worldly influence. 1 John 5:19 says, we know we are God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. Three enemies of the believer: the world, your flesh, and the devil. And Satan has come to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But how many know that Jesus, the cycle breaker, said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. So for every lie and for every negative cycle, how many know God has a way out? And our text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think I put the text on there. If you want to show it to us, if not, there it is. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't fight with the flesh. I mean, no, the flesh is going to fight by itself. It's natural. You don't have to teach a child to say no. First word they learn, no. Second word, mine. It's just natural, right? And so we don't have to wage war with the world or the flesh. It's already there. But the weapons we fight with are not carnal. They're not weapons of the world. How many know God has given us a way to do warfare? It's a stronghold. We need to take hold and fight the good fight of faith. On the contrary, they have divine power. God has given us some weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish every argument, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And also, not only do we demolish those, but we take authority and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have to crucify the old man. You have to kill the flesh. What we love to do is point fingers at everybody else. It's their fault. It's their fault. How many know God wants you to own up to responsibility and say, whatever my issue is, it's time to demolish it. Amen. Or you can be a victim the rest of your life, or you can take care of the issue. There are cycles that come, both good and both bad. I guess you know, we talked about this already. And so it can happen. God wants us to know and realize the authority that only comes through Jesus Christ. How many know He is our authority? That's why Psalms 1:1. I didn't put it up on the screen, but it's easy. You know it. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the sinner, nor stands in the way of the scornful, sits in the seat of the scornful, stand in the way of sinners, right? But his law his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate, think on, concentrate, day and night. How many know it matters what you think about? It matters who and what you let influence your life. If you're being cultured, and children, listen to me, sometimes children have no choice. They're left in that culture, and they adopt it, not intentionally, but, you know, it has adverse effects on them. They grow up with cycles that are vicious and malicious and destructive. But how many know Jesus can take care of it? And they shall be like a tree, bringing forth fruit in its season. And the leaf will not wither, and they shall prosper all the days of their life. That is the process. That's the process. How many know there's a way to break through to cycles? The cycles of blessing, cycles of evil, or cursing, whatever. And so it's an accumulation of toxic thinking, unsatisfied attitudes, self-centeredness. Some of it's natural. Some it's because of the sinful nature. Are y'all hearing me? Some of it is unsanctified attitudes, unthankful, unholy. Don't deposit anything in your spirit. If you leave your spirit left to whatever's out there, how many know it will inhabit things that you do not want? You've got to fill your spirit. Fill yourself full of the Spirit and the Word of God to refute, to fight back, to allow to rule over the years. If you allow negative things to rule in your mind, your moods, your money, your emotions, your home, your house, your attitude, your words. If you allow that to rule and just take control, authority over you, it will be a vicious cycle that's why our minds need to be renewed. Hey, Jesus said, hey, the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility is the order of the day. Pride is always going to sink you lower than you really want to be. But humility is a way of saying, God, I want a breakthrough. I need to come out of this. I don't want to be here anymore. This place is miserable. And miserable people love miserable people. Birds of a feather flock together. I mean, misery loves company. And you might have a tendency, if you have toxic emotions, words, mindset, thoughts, whatever ways that are toxic, you might gravitate to toxic people. It's proven. I said it's proven. In Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Has a lot to do with your thought life. So I don't know if anybody here today needs to break free from some things like fear or resentment or bitterness or lust or pride or greed or drugs or alcohol or pornography or laziness. How many know God sent us Jesus, the cycle breaker? He can break in and destroy all the strongholds that come against us. David was a man after God's own heart, but he struggled with a weakness in his life, a lustful spirit that surfaced from time to time, and people closest to him knew about it. But they figured it would maybe just go away. How many know it just doesn't go away? You have to deal with toxic. And I think leaders and churches preach heaven is happy and everybody's going. But how many know it's not about heaven being happy? It's about the earth being so depressed and sad. I mean, no, we got to help the people of God get victory. We can't stay in dysfunction. We got to move forward in faith. David had a lust issue, which manifests in an affair with another man's wife. And he didn't know what to do. His son Amnon, though, isn't that something? Ended up with the same issues and ended up violating his sister in 2 Samuel 13. And when David heard about it, he became very angry at Amnon. But what could he say? I mean, what could he do? I'm not trying to excuse people's personal choice. But it passed a law. Monkey see and monkey do. And Abraham, you remember him? Father Abraham, wow. Father of faith. Well, he lied to King about Sarah to save his own skin, Genesis 20. And what happened? His son Isaac did the very exact thing, the same place, the same thing, a few chapters later in Genesis 26. It can happen. And don't kid yourself. How you live today can affect somebody else in the next generation. Experts say that children of alcoholic parents are 400 times more likely to become addicted to alcohol. 400 times. But Jesus is the cycle. I said I had an alcoholic dad, but how many know it didn't have to be that way in my house? Hey, as for me and my house, we chose to serve the Lord. I got saved. I poured down the Jack Daniels down the toilet. How many know it didn't have any good thing for me? And I grabbed the new wine. I mean, no, Jesus can give you more than the world could ever try to offer you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, none of it's good. And Jesus comes along. I mean, no, he can help you get a head start breaking vicious cycles. And the 80% of child abusers were, so many of them themselves were abused as children. 80%, that's pretty high. And so it's vicious and it's malicious. But how many know Jesus can bring redemption? I said, how many know Jesus can bring redemption to that brokenness? And so sometimes it comes at both sides of the family. It comes at you, you don't know what to do. And you can blame mom and daddy all you want to. I mean, today we're set up with a decision. Are we going to get free from whatever's ailing us? Is there no balm in Gilead? Can I tell you, there is a balm in Gilead. His name is Jesus. You can break free. God can help you break through. We do have weapons, and they are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, from the tearing apart false idols of worshiping like our fathers. Remember the woman in Samaria? See, we worship like our fathers did. Listen, what if your father worshiped idols? You need to break down those idols and set something up for God. That's the difference. Jesus is the difference maker. And so, that's just one cycle. You face the world patterns, the flesh, the devil coming at you in your psyche, in your mind, in your physical, emotional, relational, financial, spiritual. Comes at you all kinds of ways. And sometimes, I guess I'm not a counselor, but I can tell you sometimes it kind of, you know, compiles if one starts another, and then you have a compilation of a bunch of different things. I mean, oh, it can wear you out. But I've come with good news. God can heal dysfunctional families. I love Oak Grove. And the reason I do is because we're just one dysfunctional family telling another dysfunctional family where to find Jesus. Hey, man, just look at your neighbor and say, you have issues too. Don't get arrogant. You have issues too. Don't go sitting there holy like you don't have issues. You got issues too. You've got problems just like the rest of us. Some of them are worse than others. But we're not here to compare each other's dysfunction. We're here to get broke free, break free. Just because your parents were emotionally frozen doesn't mean you have to sit there like a frozen popsicle. I want nobody hugging me. Don't hug me. My parents didn't hug me. I'm not hugging nobody. Get free. Get free. Warm up. You know, God can help us because Jesus is the cycle breaker. Amen. Remember Gideon, he had to tear down his altars that his idol-worshiping father built, Judges 6:25. And he had to break the cycle, make the change, take authority over the past, pray over your children, lay hands on your children. Let's believe God for the next generation. Come on, your children and your grandchildren, they don't have to have it. I mean, we need to pray for America that God breaks the cycle of all the things going on in our country today so we can have a country that's free to worship God. It's up to you and me. to live, to vote. Somebody ought to vote in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to vote. In fact, at this point, I don't care if you vote for a devil or an angel. You better vote for something. A vote for no vote is a vote either way you go. So you need to realize your authority. It has been given to us by Jesus. You can never defeat what you cannot define. I'm going to say it again because Max is taking notes. You can never defeat what you never define. And so many people just running through life. They don't know. I don't know what my problem is. I don't know what my problem is. Oh, yeah, you. Well, I'll help you find out. Come see me. And everybody else seems to know. I said everybody else seems to know. And so, greater is he that is in you. Admit your need for Jesus, and he will interrupt the cycle of activity. Cycles of good habits are easy to define. The pain is now, and the payoff is later. So a good cycle means I might be deferring gratification right now. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to kill the old man and kill the flesh now, but in the future, I'm going to have God pay some serious dividends because I sacrificed now because I wanted God to bless later. A bad cycle will say, give me it all now, and then they pay a major price later. Are y'all following that? That's the difference between cycles, good and bad. And so when you lie, who do you really think you're lying to? You're lying to yourself mostly. You think you're lying to everybody else, but you're lying to yourself. You're not getting the help you need. And so you stay in the mess. And there's a process that took you into the cycle. And guess what? There's a process that's going to take you out of the cycle. You don't just flip and flop like a fish. There's process. And so the process is craving, response, reward. So you crave it, respond to that, and you get a reward for it. If you wait and have an eternal perspective, how many know you crave Jesus in the end, and you don't have to have all your selfish ways now. So your reward is in heaven. Is anybody hearing me? But if you go to the cycle of the flesh and the world and the enemy, you get everything you want in your selfish ways now. You crave it, you get it, you respond to it, you live in it, vicious cycle. And then the reward comes too. How many know there's a reward, whatever you choose? I'm going to have to say that again. There's a reward for both cycles, both negative and positive. And I don't know that we just don't preach hell anymore, but how many know there's a real hell to shun and a real heaven to gain? You will reap what you sow. That's another lesson coming your way soon. Sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. You sow to this seed, you're going to get this result. And so there's a process, and it affects us, the places, the people, the moods, the time, all of it. And the habits today will shape your future tomorrow. If you tolerate it now, it becomes harder and harder to remove it. It goes deeper and deeper. Man, it's hard. Your heart was designed for God, not for destruction. You were made in the image of God, but Satan comes to usurp authority in your life over God and get you to forfeit God's rule in your life. I mean, no, you are God's children. You're created to rule and reign with God in the kingdom here and there. You're created. You're the head and not the tail. I wish somebody had helped the preacher preach. I said, you're the head and not the tail. You're the lender and not the borrower. But if you live in a toxicity of a poverty mindset, you're never going to break that thing. And the enemy, he will give you control, wants to lead you. So when you open up to the enemy, you give the enemy control. How many things it matters what you read? It matters where you go. It matters who you talk to. It matters if you pray. It matters if you go to church. It matters if you read your Bible. God in, God out. Trash in, trash out. It's every believer's God-given right. And so every believer has a right to use the authority of Jesus' name to bind and take authority over satanic activities. In Luke 9:1, then he called his 12 together gave them power and authority over all the devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 10:1, and these things the Lord appointed the 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. And church, I believe if we issue a spoken command to the devil in Jesus' name, the devil has to run. I don't know what you believe, but how many, there's power in Jesus' name. Hey, that weapon, there's a weapon for you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I mean, no, that's a weapon. Pray in Jesus' name. Grab your children, your grandchildren, lay hands on them and pray in Jesus' name. Satan, take your hands off my children and my grandchildren in Jesus' name. I just got louder because you wasn't getting louder, so maybe if I got louder, maybe you'd get louder. But the pattern wasn't working. You're not falling for that cycle because you fell for the cycle of depression somewhere down the road. Anyway, how many know God wants to break a cycle over your children? And there's power in the name of Jesus. If there's no power in the name of Jesus, what are we doing here? And the scripture just said, I'm sending you out. I'm giving you authority. You speak it. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you loose, be loose. Whatever you bind can be bound. And I just think it's time for parents and churches and leaders to start binding some things in people's lives and opening and freeing them to have a blessing. If there is a cycle of curse, there's also a cycle of blessing. We'll get to it. But exercising authority in Jesus' name will expel the devil and his influence. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. You have a choice. You stay in it or you cast it out. So that's the first thing. The second thing, sorry, that took a long time. But I feel better now. Got it out of my system. Broke that cycle. Repeated prayer and intercession. You want to break a cycle in your life? Learn how to pray strategically. Youngie Cho, we were at a conference one time. Melissa and I heard Youngie Cho, wow, powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. Praying man of God in South Korea and Seoul. And taught us how to pray strategically. The word paga is to light upon a thing. As a lion attacks at the water's edge. Hey, you got to be strategic. This passivity, you're not going to break any strongholds with a passive attitude. Oh, well, que sera, sera. No. The lion's going to eat your lunch. Okay? It's a circle of life, all right. You'll be circulating in the lion's belly. But corporate intercession, I thank God for a praying church. How about you? Our ladies got together this past Wednesday and prayed. They didn't talk about it, teach about it, nothing. They just prayed. Prayed, breaking down, tearing down strongholds. That's another weapon, prayer. How many know there's power in prayer? Just like there's power in Jesus' name. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. That's access. The name of Jesus is just access to the throne room. That's the key that opens up the door to access to God's presence. You heard Chrissy say it. All we want is the presence of the Lord because he can do more in 1 second in his presence than we can take a lifetime to try to do. Coming together with other believers to pray, intercede against strongholds until you get results. I remember they used to say push, P-U-S-H. Push, pray until something happens. We used to call it praying through or breaking through. If you have a stronghold, you have to pray through to break through. You can't give up in the process. You can't just give up. Charles Spurgeon said there's a general kind of praying which fails for lack of precision. It's as if a regiment of soldiers should all fire off their guns anywhere. Possibly one would be killed, but the majority of the enemy would be missed. It's just like praying, nonchalant, indifferent praying, casual praying. I'm talking about warfare praying. I'm talking about getting down where it's real. I'm talking about tears. I'm talking about weeping. I'm talking about intercession. I'm talking about really caring for your family member. didn't care for your family member when you let them read Harry Potter. You didn't care for them when you let them do this or do that. I mean, no, it matters what you let your kids get involved in. And it matters how you pray them out. It certainly does. And I don't want to say that we're a part of the problem, but I'm going to say you're surely not helping it out if you're passive about it. We got to cast down every imagination, every evil thing that sets itself up above the Lord. And pull down. Pastor, why is it so hard to pull down? You understand, you got to pull them down. If you're pulling it down, it must mean it's up. I said, if you're pulling it down, it must mean it's up. Where is it, Pastor? Well, it's in the air. Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against every principality and power and ruler of this dark present world. And Satan is a prince of the air. You understand that? The satanic activity that's in level 2 of the second heaven. But if you're going to get to the third heaven and have a breakthrough, you're going to have to break through the second heaven from the first to the third. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you're going to get breakthrough, you're going to have to fight the enemy. That's why Daniel prayed 21 days delay. There was in the secondary heavens a warfare between Michael the archangel and Satan and his angels, stopping and slowing down and hindering what really needed to be done on this level. I don't know if y'all believe me, but I'm telling you, there's a warfare going on. And that's why we need to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? Leviticus 26:8, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. How many know there's power in numbers, in corporate praying? Amen? I said, I'm glad to have a church that you partner with me in prayer, intercession. Help me with my children. There may be a day where I call on you and plead with you to pray for my children. And Kathy stands there, pray for my grandkids. How many glad that you have backup? We are the church. That's why if I was a devil, I would tear the church apart. I certainly wouldn't unite them, because a kingdom that's divided will never stand. But boy, when you unite us together, red, yellow, black, and white, I don't care what you are. I said, I don't care if you're Indian or if you're Chinese. It wouldn't matter to me. How many know you got the same devil as I have and the same God as I have? And the same warfare. I said, it's the same warfare. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison in Acts chapter 12 and verse 3. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So he was in prison. The church was in prayer. So be careful that as God's people, if you're walking in the blessing of God and something bad is happening, don't act like it's negative. I mean, good things happen. I mean, bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. I said, I know you don't like it, but good things happen to bad people. But don't just count it out what you see down here. How many know what you can't see is what you really need to focus your eyes on? This is temporary. That's eternal. So don't be jealous. Don't get angry. Don't be coveting whatever they have over here. Just set your eyes on Jesus, because he's a cycle breaker. The Jesus was asking the disciples to go out, and they came to him privately and said, why could we not cast that devil out? He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So let me just add on to the weapon of prayer. Let me add on fasting. You don't hear much about fasting anymore. But fasting is not a diet plan. I've tried every diet plan they got. I don't like needles, so I'm not shooting myself to lose 10 pounds. But I can tell you this. Fasting is more than a diet plan. Fasting is submitting control to the Lord. Lord, I'm not moving. I'm not doing nothing until I see a breakthrough. It's just the seriousness of it all, and God can help you pull out the big guns of our weaponry, prayer and fasting. It intensifies your faith, and faith breaks strongholds. It ends vicious cycles that might have hindered your progress in the Lord. Fasting works, and everybody shouted. Esther 4:16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. There's some audacity, the queen said. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor a day, night or day. I also and my handmaidens will fast likewise. So will I go in to the king, which is not according to the law. In other words, this is not kosher. Women didn't go before the king without an appointment, unannounced. No. And she said, if I perish, I perish. In chapter 5, verse 2, and it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in the sight of God, in the sight of the king. So the Lord Jesus sees you standing in his court, in his presence. How many things if he sees you praying, fasting in Jesus' name, calling on him, pulling down, sending prayer up so he can send provision down? Not only is that a big deal, repeated intercession prayer, but also replacement is a big deal. You gotta remove the old and bring in the new. Here's where a lot of people get tripped up. I got 10 minutes, so hang in there. Here's where a lot of people get tripped up, Josiah. Repentance means this. It means turning away from and a turning to. Are y'all hearing me? And I've seen a lot of God's people get all messed up because they'll get excited and turn away from evil, turn away from sin, turn away from bad habits. But they never got a hold of Jesus. They didn't get a hold of the Word. They didn't get a hold of church. They didn't get a hold of a mentor. They didn't get a hold of the Bible. And so they stayed in this, limbo. And the first kind of temptation comes along. The tendency is to go back. That's the tendency. The flesh draws them in. I mean, you want to keep that flesh from coming back on you? You take off with Jesus. Go that away. Amen? Go the other way. I said, go the other way. Run. Do what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife said she was coming on to him. You understand? You remember that? He said, honey, I can't mess with you because I don't want to defy my God. I mean, no, that's your first thing. Keep your accountability to the Lord. He didn't say, it was second that Joseph said, I don't want to dishonor Potiphar. He's been good to me. He first said, I don't want to defy my God. If you'll keep your spirit with God straight, and then you'll have somebody else to be accountable to in submission, I mean, no, it might keep you on the straight and narrow. Otherwise, you'll fall back into that same vicious cycle. This will preach somewhere in a Pentecostal church. You got to remove and replace. You have to exchange the old life for a new. And many people, they can break free from a cycle, but never replace it with the old habits with new ones. And so, number one, you have to commit. You have to commit. You have to give your yes to God. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let's say punctuality is a problem, a bad habit, a cycle. How many know that is a cycle? Can I tell you? If you have a problem, get up earlier. That's so deep you missed it. The pastor, I just can't get up. Yeah, you can. I bet you if I take two garbage can lids and put them together in your ears, you'll get up. There's a way to get you up, but you have to have a want to. How many of those spirit of laziness gets on you? You ain't getting up and you ain't going nowhere. Excuse my English. You got to have a want to. And you got to replace that old one with a commitment to the process. Establish the replacement of the presence of the Lord. Commit even if it makes you sick. If you're addicted to cigarettes right now, I told you a few weeks ago, months ago, if you smoke one, eat one. How many know you'll be delivered in a week? You got to have the want to. And you got to be honest. Commit to God and commit to the process. People tell me all the time, I don't want to smoke cigarettes. I don't want to smoke cigarettes. So they change it over from a cigarette with tobacco to a vape. I mean, no, that didn't bless you. That really didn't bless you. And if you're smoking weed, y'all don't want me to get off and start preaching, do y'all? I don't care how much America makes in taxes. How many know it's still of the devil? Can't justify that to me. Oh, I have a knee problem. So does the whole world. Half the world's got an issue. You smoke yourself into oblivion. Listen, you can't mess with me because I already did my share. I had enough for all of you. You don't have to smoke another one in your life. What I'm telling you is, anything that changes your mind, anything that is like wine, alcohol, anything that alters the decisions in your mind that disturbs what you would ordinarily think given by God, that's why we don't drink wine, whereas in excess, but we get full of the Holy Ghost. Drink something, drink new wine. Amen? You want to smoke something? Tear the pages off the Bible and smoke it. I remember as a kid, I went camping with the Boy Scouts one time, and they were smoking blackjack in the sugarcane fields down in Louisiana. I would try everything once, Max. And I took this, I don't know what it was, like a hollow. Anybody know what blackjack is? Neither did I. And this world don't really care what they're smoking. They're just smoking it up in smoke. Anyway, my friend, I was 10 years old, lit a little piece of, I don't know what it was, like a hollow piece of stick in the sugarcane field. And I choked myself into oblivion. I never smoked another one. I don't understand. It takes more for you to get on a cycle of destruction than it does to get on a cycle of blessing. Why are you doing this? You have to change your mind. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Get up and go. If I tell you I'm going to be there, listen, my friend, if I tell you it's Easter tomorrow, you start dyeing your eggs tonight. You don't have to worry about it. If I tell you it's Easter tomorrow, it's going to be Easter tomorrow. But we live in a culture where it doesn't have a problem with lying. They don't have a problem with lying. Straight at you. And so, your mind, rather than trying to make bad thoughts shoo away, we're told to replace them. Renew your mind. Learn new ways of thinking, new ways of talking, relating to people. Get rid of stinking thinking. How about your mouth, your vocabulary? Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Replace your old thoughts with new thoughts. Read the word. Go to church. Make friends. Serve people. Speak grace. Stop all your griping, complaining, and criticizing. And are you hearing me? You have to change. Replace your old with your new. How about your moods? Your attitudes matter. Out with anger, in with grace. Get away from negative termites. You know, one thing you might do is change the people you hang around. I said, change the people you hang around. If all they do is gossip, listen, find somebody else. Just tell them, hey, I don't have time for that. Somebody started criticizing me one time. I said, stop. I said, you're too late. The devil already told me everything you just said. He tells me that daily. How many know the devil's already the accuser of the brethren? He's already lying and cheating and stealing and breaking and tearing people up. And then finally, the resistance. Resistance is key. James 4:7. Submit to God. I told you submission was important. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. You want to know how to break free? Replenish and fortify. Put on the whole armor of God. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You got the word of God. You got the sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness protecting your heart. You got the helmet of salvation protecting your mind, right? All of that. There's no reason for you to live in a miserable state. Clothe yourself with the armor of God. Keep God in the middle of everything you're doing. And I want them to come back to the instrument because it's one more minute and I'm done. Prayer, fasting. Generosity is a weapon. You want to stop greedy spirit? Start giving. Even if it's not much, just give. Even if you have no money, give something else. Give your words. Give your service. Give something. Breaking cycles is more practical than you can imagine. And there's been a shift in the culture. It's tougher to do. So commitment. Why don't people commit, Pastor Ron? Well, it's not fun, I can tell you that. A heroin addict commits to the process of getting clean, but will get sick on their way to sobriety. They'll throw up on the way to getting some help. It's a process, and it's really vicious. Everybody's been through a process. Submission. Once we commit, we need to submit. Almost every time we submit to a process, it's going to require submission to another person. And here I would like to tell you that you should get you a mentor, a counselor. Get somebody in your life that you can have a confidant that you can talk to, a spouse, a father, a mother, somebody. Moses submitted to his father-in-law. Who are you submitting yourself to? If you're going to get freedom, you're going to have to find somebody to help you through the process. Why is it hard, Pastor? Well, people are hurt. There's a lot of church hurt. You would be amazed at how many people are sitting in a cycle, dormant, trapped by fear, trapped by emotionlessness, trapped by fear of what other people think about them because somebody did them something at church. Or are there the know-it-all? Can't get any help and submit to nobody because you know everything and know everybody else is dumb. Bitterness, a hard-heartedness, can't trust anybody. Most of the time we don't get to pick, so we don't submit. Because if we pick, it wouldn't produce humility. If you pick your own mentor, you might pick the one that likes you the most. Can I tell you? A friend is friend that tells you what you want to hear. A mentor is a person that tells you what you need to hear. Yeah. So we don't have a healthy understanding that we belong to an upside-down kingdom. We live in an age of no honor. Everybody has to submit, even to governing authorities. All authority comes from God. Happy or not, I mean, no, we have to be under authority. So what people do today is they just flee from authority and find another authority. They uproot and find another authority. Give me somebody else and somebody else. And nobody really knows them because they never spent the time submitting to one person to get to know them. So you just keep on going and keep on going and they never get free. And so what we've received is the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that's not going to help us because God gives us freely any kind of thing we want. So the person without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the spirit. Submission requires confession and altar call. As long as Pastor and Melissa are here at this church as your pastors, till I die, you get rid of me or we get out. There will be an altar. At the end of the month, we're going to talk about family altars. How many know we need to make family altars? We need every generation to be healthy and strong. We need our kids and our grandkids to have an altar. I'm not willing to forfeit the altar for the world. And so, end of the month, we're going to deal with that. But the altar in James 5:16 is where we confess our sins to each other and pray for one another so that you might be healed. And the prayer of the righteous person has a lot of power. If you've been offended by this message today, go ahead and forgive me now. Because this is not about you. It's about you becoming healthy. It's not critical, no condescending, nothing condemning. God is wanting to be in the middle of your life, in the middle of your covenant. The final one I think I have is rest. Don't forget the cycle of blessings. Cycle of creation, growth, increase. He imparts revelation and continues through delegation. What are you doing with the blessing God has given to you? The final and ultimate thing in this whole process is finding rest. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want you to be healthy. I don't want any toxic thinking in your brains. I don't want any toxic attitudes and moods. I don't want you to be entrapped in a cycle that was given to you by somebody in the family tree. Hey, it's all breakable. The woman with the alabaster box, what she had to do with all of her inheritance, break it. She broke it in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus loves broken things. He'll take your brokenness and that fragrance will go out the window and that fragrance of your life will change everybody around you because you chose to let Jesus be the cycle breaker.